Today is December 5th. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, and it's great to be here with you today. So, we finished the book of Daniel, and really, it's like time to buckle in. We are going to be sprinting through a number of shorter books. Of course, we have that in the New Testament, and then we'll come to the final book, the book of Revelation, and spend the rest of the year there. But we also have a number of Old Testament minor prophets to work our way through, and today we've come to one, the book of Hosea. Now, the theme of marriage is often used in the Bible to represent God's love for his people, especially in the Old Testament between God and those he was in covenant with, the children of Israel. And it's a fitting metaphor because we often find God's people off with other lovers, committing adultery, as it were. And God's reaction to this is very understandable. As a scorned lover who deeply cares for his love lost, nowhere in all of the Bible is this more clearly presented than in the book of Hosea, a book of prophecy. Because God asks Hosea to use his very life as living prophecy. He instructs him to marry a prostitute named Gomer, and this represents the idolatry and adultery and harlotry of Israel. And the couple have children, and each child is given a prophetic name that speaks directly to Israel. And then Gomer is unfaithful to Hosea, and Hosea divorces her as God thrusts away Israel. And in an about face, Hosea goes in pursuit of Gomer once again. And this woman who has been unfaithful, who has played the harlot, actually has to be purchased back, which Hosea does, representing God's passion for his people, even to the point of rescuing and buying back that which he loves. It's a beautiful picture of God's love for us in this beautiful book of Hosea. We also get a good picture of our betrayal when we chase after other loves. Most of us have experienced a broken heart or had a sense of betrayal in our lives. And the book of Hosea gives us a good picture of what that looks like from God's eyes. So today, Hosea chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, 5. We're reading from the Passages Bible this week. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman, and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. And that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo Ruhamah, which means not loved. For I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them." After she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo Ammi, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called children of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will come together. They will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say of your brothers, my people, and of your sisters, my loved one. Rebuke your mother. Rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children, because they are the children of adultery. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my olive oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore I will take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her naked body. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed festivals. I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers. I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry. She went after her lovers, but me, she forgot, declares the Lord. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her there. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. And that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and the olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lithek of barley. Then I told her, "You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way toward you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days." First John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. If the Lord had not been on our side, Let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Proverbs 29:5-8. Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. Evildoers are snared by their own sin. But the righteous shout for joy and are glad. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Mockers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger. So this language used in the book of Hosea today, it's something that most of us in some way or another can understand. And can you see the emotion in it? I mean, I know I'm talking to some people today who have been brokenhearted by the betrayal of a spouse. And it could have been years ago, but me even saying that can bring a lump into your throat. It may have been a long, 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 long time ago, and you may have moved way, way on in life. And it can still bring a shot through the pit of your stomach. Maybe you're the perpetrator of such an adulterous thing. Maybe you have betrayed someone who trusted you. And you've lived long enough to feel the repercussions of that and realize it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. And it could have been last week that you came to this realization, so it's fresh. Or it could be years ago, but you still know. It still all comes washing back. You may be in the thick of it right now, confused, and looking at the ceiling trying to figure out what happened to your life. Right, when you go through these experiences, these emotions, it's so unstable. It's so all over the map. And as we read the book of Hosea today, it's like that. It's this anger, this shock, these words of casting away and then a breath and then it switches and it's just all of that. And it's interesting to think that these could be emotions that God would feel. Because so often we look at God as this sovereign, yet honestly very aloof figure in our lives. Or we look at this sovereign God and his son Jesus who came to die for us and think of his profound love for us, that he would forgive us of anything, and he will. But we never really take into consideration that there's, you know, any kind of pain or sense of betrayal on his side. He's God. He's above all that. There's nothing to be felt there. The remorse is all for the weightiness of our own sin. It's not so much that we've betrayed the Father. It's not that we've so much betrayed the one that loves us most. Because he'll just forgive us and remove it as far as the east is from the west. Never to think about it again. It just doesn't matter that much. And yet we read a prophecy like the book of Hosea and find out that that's not true, because the poetry that God's using today would indicate otherwise. The way that the narrative reads today is that God does feel that. So having known what this feels like, or having perpetrated such heartbreak on another that you loved once, I mean, why do we continue to chase after other lovers in our own life? continuing to live this adulterous lifestyle against the one who loves us more deeply and profoundly than any human being ever could? What are we after that's more valuable than the love of God? And are we truly willing to, by our own volition, of our own will, betray the God who has created us? It's something that is deeply worth considering, because we know what it feels like, and it's the worst pain in all of human experience to feel the sting of utter and complete betrayal. And to try to sort through all of the lies and explanations, and it's just impossible to sort through all of the range of emotions. So knowing this, why would we perpetrate this upon our Savior? And yet, the way that the prophecy reads, God says, I'm not giving up. I'm going to win your heart back. I will lead you away into the desert. You will give yourself to me like you did when you were young. I'm not surrendering you. This isn't who you are. I know who you are. You are mine. I'm not letting you go. And when that day comes, you're not going to call me master anymore. You're going to call me husband, and I will betroth myself to you, and it will be beautiful and pure and righteous. This is a God speaking to an adulterous people. This is a God speaking to us, a profound love that is so far beyond our understanding that we can scarcely comprehend it. And yet his love is that deep and that wide and that profound. We have a catalog of millions of songs that have been written over thousands of years to try to express the depth of human emotion and human pain, especially the sting of betrayal. We have whole genres of music. I mean, I live here in Nashville, the home of country music, which has made its bread and butter trying to explain this sort of loss, this sort of pain, but it's not just country music. Listen to the radio from any generation in recent memory. Go back into the old and ancient songs. Go back to the Bible, and you find it everywhere. And we know this, and we can sing along with these songs, especially if we've had this experience before. And that one song can bring up so much that it can cause tears. It can bring all of it back to the forefront. All of what we've experienced, all of what we felt, all of the pain and suffering and recovery and healing of it all. But we don't equate the fact that God seems to experience the same thing. What if it were God singing these songs of loss like he did in the book of Hosea today? What if it were God singing to the one that he longs for, that keeps running, that won't return, that he keeps pursuing, and that he won't give up on? What if we began to realize that we were his beloved, and what we do to each other and to him matters?
She is the morning sun, she is the gravity, the kind of girl that makes the world stop its routine. But love is not always roses, hearts get broken, and when my guard is down, I know that she will leave. When will I see that she just keeps on? Keep burn, but I just keep